This program was paid for by Water of Life Church. From Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is speaking through his servants to the world. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. Let us join Doyle Davidson and others of Water of Life, sowing the Word of God in spirit and in truth.
Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, sent by God to your house to declare to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is how that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Thank God. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Spirit of the Lord's upon me, as he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, recovering the sight to the blind. Thank God. Set at liberty them that are bruised. Hallelujah. Amen. The word is nigh thee, even in my heart and in my mouth, is a word of faith which I preach. You will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Thank God. Amen. Well, we are having an interview tonight after we have some special songs. First, by Paul Peters, Bethlehem, and following that, Sweet 16 with God Sacrificed the Lamb.
With the one Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. him songs of praise. For the Lord is the great God, the King of all gods. For the Lord is the great God. He controls the formation of the depths of the earth, and the mightiest mountains all of his. Alleluia, 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 for the mightiest mountains.
Hello, I'm Lloyd Davidson, Water of Life Ministries, Plano, Texas. I want to welcome everyone here. I want to talk just briefly about my background. My mother was a miller, and the millers settled in New York, upstate, and were deeply involved in the Choral Society. Well, Lloyd Miller, a professor at Boston University, supplied all the information I know about the Miller background. But those songs are songs or music, especially songs, hymns, were sung by my mother by the hours, playing on her piano, singing when I was just a kid. Loved to hear her sing and play. In 1974, I was at Argyle, Texas, out in the wilderness where God had led me, and I was being tempted of the devil day and night. And I heard a song sung on radio in 1974, may have been television, and that song was "One Day at a Time, Sweet Jesus." While I was listening to that song, for 4 years, God had taken me out of a very lucrative practice of veterinary medicine in the North Dallas area and sent me to the wilderness to be tempted and tried of the devil. And he was teaching me at that time, one day at a time, Doyle, this is a way you have to walk. You can no longer have your plans for months ahead. But one day at a time, I am teaching you to walk. I heard that song, and I thought, how appropriate. Written in 1974 by Mary John Wilkins and a co-writer, thank God. Amen. It was a beautiful song, teaching or preaching to me, telling me what God wanted done. Amen. And I have a person, happen to be a woman, that will be bringing this song out shortly. And I thank God for it about to emerge. But we're not going to talk about that now. We have with me, on my left, Paul Peters, a young lad that's 15 years old when he started singing where I could hear him. We'll talk more about that. Next to him is his mother, Pam Peters. And then next to Pam is Mike Peters. Mike and Pam have been with me in the ministry, and Paul was born here. But Mike and Pam have been with me in the ministry since, I think, the late 80s, if I remember. What a welcome, all of you here. It's a, my pleasure. And I'm here just to kind of let you all talk and let me hear and let the people in the congregation and worldwide live stream, Roku, and so forth, let them know more about my ministry and about this young man who is a great voice. And I have some ability to judge a voice. Who wants to talk?
Hey, man, I'll go first.
Mike.
I think the purpose of these interviews is to talk about the music ministries that are coming for us. So obviously we're going to talk about Paul. But what I wanted to share is what God had to do to get us here together so that Paul could come forth. Pam and I, or I grew up in Colorado. Pam grew up in Wisconsin. But we both moved here in March of 83, unbeknownst to each other. We showed up in Texas at the same time. The company I worked for relocated here and moved me here. Pam just got out of college and had a friend down here who kept saying, come on down, there's a lot of jobs. We met in the workforce, in the workplace, and you know, a romance developed or whatever, and she eventually had to move on. Ended up working for a mortgage company that was North Carolina National Bank, became Nations Bank, and is, today is called Bank of America. One thing I wanted to share, what God had to do in her, she was one of the youngest vice presidents at the mortgage bank, a lot of power, upwardly mobile, really going to the top. When she became pregnant with Paul, she stayed home, and God changed her heart.
Amen.
That no longer made her a corporate woman. She stayed home with Paul for the first 9 years of his life. During that time, she was reading Psalms and playing the worship music from this ministry, which Paul had heard those first 9 years. I just went blank. But, you know, God brought us down here. Like I said, we were both accountants, both CPAs, but God changed her heart to bring him forth. I eventually got laid off and ended up working as a contractor for the RTC, which was a corporation created by Congress to deal with the S&L crisis.
Amen.
At one of the savings and loans, I met a young man who was going to church here. He introduced me to Water of Life, and I started coming here in the fall of 88, started with the Water of Life training school. And that's how the gospel was planted in my heart, through this training school. The second year of the school was only, and I know you remember, was only during the day. But I worked, I had a boss at this S&L who thought it was just so great that I was going to a Bible school, that she would let me leave during the day to come here to the school.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Then Pam and I both had jobs downtown. We were commuting together, driving down Central, which at that time was four lanes. There was no light rail like I take downtown today. Pam wasn't coming here yet, so she was resisting, and I'll let her share some of the things I said. She remembers more than I do, but they were pretty sharp. But we had the tapes from your school playing, and she'd pretend like she's sleeping, but they were getting in her heart, and the gospel was getting in her heart in these hour commute downtown and the hour commute back. And so God used those tapes to bring her to Water of Life, because we weren't in one accord, and a marriage won't last you're not in one accord.
So you romanced her with my tapes, huh?
Yeah. It didn't start out like that way because she was resisting him. But some things were said in there, like the law was a schoolmaster. And, you know, that opened your heart that, well, maybe we're not under the Ten Commandments anymore. But you can pick up.
Amen.
Yeah, there were some things early on that when Mike started coming here that he said to me, well, you're going to a church of death and I'm in life. And highly offended me. But he started sharing things with me, the gospel. What? Right, I was going to a Lutheran church at the time. And he was coming with me for a while, which is why I was highly offended that he would leave and not come with me. So there was great strife in the household. But I came to a point because he would share things with me. I knew that it was either leave or come with him here. I knew staying there without going to church with him was not an option. And so God had been working on my heart during this time, too. We would be driving together, like Mike said. And so we were driving together. These tapes were playing. It was getting into my heart. And my heart had come to a point where I had made the decision to stay. And one day in April or May of 91, he said to me, you're going to have to come with me to church. And all I said was, I know. And, I mean, this smile on his face after all of his fasting and praying, and I know others here too, and so I think some of you are even here perhaps, he was a very happy man. And so that started the journey. And Kathy D said something the other night that really hit home with me as well, how Doyle would week after week open every service with Mark 1, and how that Jesus, how the gospel was Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And I said, well, I got it. You know, how hard is that? And but one day, obviously I didn't have it, and one day you said, so shall thy seed be. You were talking about Abraham. That's the gospel. Well, that just blew my heart. I mean, it just blew my mind and my heart. I was like, you've been telling us all these weeks the gospel is Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. Well, what I was missing was that it was the power of God.
Amen.
And it was the power of God that would make so shall thy seed be come forth. That it was the power of God that caused us to be born again. It was the power of God that was everything in our life. And I finally started to get it. I can remember exactly where I was sitting in my house on the piano bench. And I just started talking, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And when you come to that point, God will come to help you.
Hallelujah. You know, you say you were a Lutheran?
Yes.
There's a real testimony about a man named Luther. You know that? He was a monk.
That's right.
You know more about it than I do. But he wanted to know God. And he set himself to know God. And he ended up getting the revelation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that started Christianity available to us Gentiles. Thank God. What a blessing.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Mike, you got something to say?
One thing I wanted to share was a commonality between my lineage through Germany and Terry Mize, who,
right.
You know, Paul is, you know, keying off those ministry and the power in those songs, is both of our families back in the late 1700s left Germany to go to Russia because they were induced with promises of land and keep your own religion, promises eventually broken when Catherine the Great died. They stayed there several generations, about 100 years, and then the Germans, they were now German-speaking Russians, came to the U.S., and Terry Mize's family ended up in Russell, Kansas, and my family ended up in Hayes, Kansas. one group Lutheran, the other group Catholic, because I was raised Catholic. And it's just, it's amazing how God brought those families, and then we all end up here in Plano, Texas.
Amen.
But the point being is God went through a lot of steps to get me to move to Colorado, from Colorado, get her to move from Wisconsin, to get us in this ministry, all part of his plan, steps he had to put in place generations, if not longer, ago. So I'm constantly amazed by that. Paul may want to share some of the things. As a young man, you know, there was ear infections. There was, you don't remember that, but he had pneumonia with collapsed lungs, and now he's got very strong set of lungs. So, you know, those, God came through in his life there.
I guess I will share just a little bit more about the work that God had to do in my heart. As Mike stated earlier, I was a very young vice president at Nations Bank, and really didn't have anything else in mind other than that. And my goal was to be senior VP in, 5 years or so. And but when God intervened, it was almost immediate. And we had talked about having a child for maybe 18 months or so, and nothing happened. And of course, Mike had Luke already, and he would come stay with us. And quite honestly, I was just happy with that. I really didn't care. I was never around babies. I wasn't the kind of woman that just lived to have a baby. And so it didn't really matter to me. But when God got a hold of my heart, it was almost immediate, the change. I mean, to the point, I never babysat babies. I had never changed a diaper until I got to this place, to here in this nursery.
Hallelujah.
And some of you young Water of Life boys. so it, like I said, when I got pregnant, it was almost immediate, the change in my heart to stay home, lay down the career, and really it wasn't laying anything down. It was just, I knew what I had to do, and I was going to do it. Mike and I had to work through some fear because we each brought in about 50% of the income at that time into the household. But anyway, we worked through that fear, and Paul came, and quite honestly, I'll have to say those 9 years while I was home with him were some of the happiest that we've had. So it was a real blessing to obey God, and I guess that's the key. One of the things that God was working in my heart through that time was, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I had such a work ethic in me. I worked since I was 15, so I thought, well, you're not carrying your weight around here. You know, you need to do something. And that's when God ministered to me, obedience is what I require, not working. I'm not saying don't work, but in my case, it was stay at home. And be a mom to Paul. So,
amen. I appreciate, Pam, you and Mike both had to humble yourself from your educational background and your positions in the world of business to serve God. I understand that. I'd like to talk about, I want to say what y'all involved here in a little bit, but I want to talk a minute about Water of Life. I believe God for a singer. And when I started this ministry, Terry Myatt was with me. He was with the person I'd met the church in McKinney for 5 years, I believe. And he joined me. And Terry had a great voice. And not only that, but he had a clear voice. And I really appreciated what God did for my ministry to give me Terry. But in 2009, when Terry suddenly went to heaven, I needed a singer. I had Terry's recorded tapes, but that's not always going to work. And I was at a visitation at Terry's funeral, or the night before a visitation, and I was listening to a song, some of Terry's songs, and I heard a voice. And I stood there, and I was standing close to Paul. And I said to KD, I said, that voice I hear is Paul Peters. He was 15 years old. And I'm going to let him talk. I've got a couple questions if he doesn't bring out the answers that I want him to. Paul Peters, welcome, my friend. I love you as a son in the Lord. You were born under this ministry. Amen?
Amen.
What would you like to say?
Well, to start off, I want to talk about when I was about 7 or 8 years old. We were in here. It was during a service. I was sitting on my right side over here about halfway back, and Terry Miles up here leading worship. And God said to me, one day, you're going to be up there standing next to Terry Miles leading worship. At the time, I didn't know that was God. I didn't really think of anything at the time. I was just worshiping with Terry. And then when in 09, when that happened, I remembered that God had said that to me. And then when God had said that to me, I pictured myself standing next to Terry Mai up here. Right. I didn't imagine him going to heaven like that. But when he went to heaven, God brought that to remembrance. And then the next day, or at Terry's funeral, Wildlife Boys were up here leading worship.
Amen.
Happened immediately.
Thank God. I have a question. Okay. Had you been singing for years?
The only time I ever sang was here in the church.
We sang at home to the worship tapes, but he didn't sing in school or anything. He played instruments, but it was tuba. You know, he didn't sing. But we sang at home to the tapes, but it was, you know, ad lib or ad hoc or whatever, but sang along with the worship tapes. So he obviously knew the words and could sing along.
So we could say you're one of Terry Mai's trained singers.
Yes. I've thought about that, yes. Cause that's the only music I listened to growing up, the Terry Mai solos on the tapes.
Cassette tapes in the
day.
Yeah,
cassette tapes.
Right. That's all we had.
Yeah.
I recall when Terry did a tape for me, an audio, brought it to me. And as I am, he said to me, gave it to me, and I played that thing for a year in my automobile and in my office. Now I'm playing some of yours.
Amen.
Amen. You remember the first song that you did here, solo?
Solo or with the Wildlife Boys?
No, solo.
Yeah. Walk With Me.
Walk With Me,
yeah.
Right? Amen. Still one of my favorites. I love to hear him sing it. Amen. You know, there's a tremendous opposition against this interview. We're just sitting here. But the war opposes it. And, you know, you hate to talk about the devil, but that's the one that is our enemy. He is the one that hates for God's people to be exalted. And for them to be successful. But we don't let Satan stop us. We push on. We have the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is the gospel, and we walk in the Spirit, live by faith, and we just keep on singing. Amen.
Ever since he started, it became really manifest or obvious that he was coming forth. The resistance at home has been really great, too. And even here, I've at times almost fell asleep standing up at the camera because the oppression is so great. But, you know, I held on to the camera and didn't knock it over. But, yeah, you know, the warfare is heavy at home, too.
Amen.
You know, the resistance, the temptations. I mean, he is a 21-year-old male. But, you know, we fight through it, and with the help of prayers here and the worship. You know, we know what to do. We have worship playing all the time. You know, what's amazing to me is that these worship songs, you know the Spirit of God is in them. If you had in the old days, you'd play an album, you had whatever your favorite band is, play it over and over. After a while, you'd get sick of the thing. But these tapes of Terry playing over and over in a car at home 24/7, you don't get tired of them because they're ministering life. You know, that's not just a song that, you know, in fact, you like them playing over and over in your heart or waking up in the middle of the night and the worship songs are there because they minister life.
Amen. I play them in my house day and night. We play them here day and night. Terry's, now Paul's, and others. I just want to say, when Terry left, unexpected, by the way, I said, Lord, I've got to have a singer. I know Terry's tapes are still here. He's in heaven. I have his recordings. But I need someone that can sing. When I heard Paul, I thought, this young man has the potential to come on and be a great minister of the gospel in spirit through song. And I've watched him, and you have too, develop. Today, he ministers a lot of power, a lot of strength, and it's a beauty to watch what God has done with him on or in this ministry.
Amen, and that's why I mentioned that when he had the pneumonia and the collapsed lung, and now that he can minister with the strength, it's like it never happened. I'm not going to be a fool and say we didn't go to the doctor. He was in the hospital a long time, but his lungs are very strong right now, and he can not strength, I mean physical strength, but also strength in the spirit and minister's faith.
But. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen.
Another thing, when I was in the hospital when that happened, I had the worship, Terry's worship, playing 24/7 in the hospital room over and over and over and over again.
It's the anointing.
Amen.
That destroys the yoke.
Amen.
Isaiah 10:27. It'll destroy the yoke of the devil. You know, Jesus was manifest in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. And that's what this anointing does. It flows out of our hearts. I anointed this house before I ever came here and opened the ministry up. I was in Jerusalem, 1974. 40 years ago, on the 17th of June, and that would have been yesterday, wouldn't it? And God anointed me at the tomb of the garden, and with Acts 1:8, it sent me all over the world with this gospel. Now, Paul, Mike, Pam, all one of my singers, one of my boys, my girls, and the congregation, we all live in the Spirit of God. We move in the Spirit that God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Thank God. Amen.
There was one thing, Doyle, that you asked me back in 09 when Paul first came up. And you said, what think you, Mom? And honestly, I had no I didn't have a clue. Doyle probably had more of a clue than any of us, of course. But I had no clue, and I just said, God's will be done. We'll watch and see what God does. And it has been a real blessing to watch what God has done, to build the strength in him, to see the fear that he's had to overcome as a pretty young man to stand up here. So anyway, it's been a real blessing to watch him.
Amen.
God's bringing forth Pam, too, in that song Bethlehem. She's playing the piano in that. You know, she was trained in piano as a kid, but and she played worship here for a while, but God is using her to help minister the music. And I'm sure there'll be more where it's just Paul and Pam doing music.
Later on this week, actually Sunday night, we'll have the Water Vibe Quartet on, Paul Peters and the three Brown brothers, Philip, David, and Daniel. The quartet, always wanted a quartet. We'll talk about them Sunday night, amen? Let's talk more about you. You've got more songs that you're pressing through. That Bethlehem, beautiful song, really beautiful. I've watched your voice develop. I've watched you grow in the Lord, get stronger in the spirit, and it's a beautiful thing to watch God do what he's done. I will say this, Ephesians 3:20 says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask according to the power that worketh in you. Well, the power, the gospel that worketh in me most certainly brought Paul in and all the rest of the Water of Life singers. raised them up around me. Such a blessing to me to watch them grow in the Lord, get strengthened in the spirit, in their inner man, as God strengthens them daily around this ministry. Amen? Paul, you got any more?
I don't have anything right at the moment.
You spent, what, 8 years in band?
6 years.
Six?
Yeah.
Amen. And what instrument did you play?
Played tuba.
Tuba? Is that big?
Yeah, there's the marching band one's called the sousaphone. That's the one you wear over your shoulder. And yeah. The bell comes over the top of your head.
Right.
And the regular tuba, you sit between your lap on the chair. And it's kind of more out in front of you. And you have four valves out in front of you.
Amen. So you played that 6 years?
Yes.
Here in Plano?
Yep.
What, Pesh? Well, four.
Start at Armstrong Middle School.
Armstrong.
And then Williams just across the street.
Oh, yeah.
And then Plano East.
Well, amen. Thank God. Thank God. Amen. Mike, your background. Tell us a little about it. You've made a drastic change in your life.
Yeah, you could say that. I was influenced by the British invasion of the early 60s, in other words, the Beatles and stuff like that. Certainly caught up in the spirit that's today called the Summer of Love. It's when all the hippies were in the 60s and everything. It's the stuff I've done that I've had to overcome. But I'm amazed. It was your prayers that when you were praying for a ministry back then that brought us to Dallas. And I had to be laid off to be humbled. You know, the Psalms does say you humble yourself, but sometimes God has to put something in place. And that's, you know, when I got laid off, I was humbled, started seeking God. I mean, I was raised in church, but I joined the Navy when I was 17, and that's the last time I went to church because I wanted to get out. Got out of the Navy, went into college, and then started working CPA firm, mortgage companies, and ended up here in Dallas.
Amen.
But, yeah, I'm still overcoming things from the 50s and 60s. I'll hear a song on the radio, not that I played on the radio, but in a restaurant, I go, oh, my God, I know who that is, and it's 40 years old.
Of course. We live in this world. We still do. We're not of the world, but we certainly live in it. And I hear things all the time that I used to think was kind of cool. Now I don't think there's a cool.
Amen.
You know, when God sets you free, he'll free you up from things that you used to enjoy, follow, lust after, and now are just a waste of time.
I remember what John the Baptist said when he was talking about an axe would have to be laid to the roots
right.
of a tree.
Right.
Some of these things have very deep roots. And if you ever had a tree stump dug out of your yard, you know, they go everywhere, and sometimes it can be painful when he's getting them out.
Amen.
And they're still there 40 years later, but they'll come out.
Amen. Thank God. Well, when God started leading me into this ministry or preparing me in 1970, 44 years ago, the Bible I was raised on could read it, understand some, but all of a sudden, the Bible just opened up to me, and my goodness, it looked like a foreign book. I think, well, where was this where I went to church? I couldn't see this where I went to church. And I recall when God started opening Scripture up to me in a greater way. I had some minister to me as a young boy. I left church when I was 18. But when he started opening up, I couldn't believe it. It was like the words were just leaping up in my face. And they'll do that for you, people out there. That's my prayer. Wherever you're at throughout the world, watching this broadcast or listening to this broadcast, my prayer for you is that God will open your heart and you will give attention to the words that we're speaking. And your inner man, your heart, will be illuminated, and you'll know the hope of God's calling on your life. Thank God. Not only that, you'll find out the riches of the glory of God upon his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power, of the power of God's power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. That's my prayer for all of you, that this will work in you as it works in many at Water of Life. And Water of Life is not just in Plano. It's all over America, Africa, and other places throughout the world. Amen. Paul, you got anything?
I'll say, when God put that in my heart that I was going to be up here singing with Terry, I didn't really think I had a good singing voice, because later on I became a tuba player. I played tuba. I was like, I can't sing. I don't know how to sing. I can hear pitches. I can hear the notes and everything. I can hear the notes, but I just thought to myself, I don't have a voice. But then when God ordained me as a music minister to sing the first song, How Great Thou Art, I just remember that I had been singing with Terry since I was really little. I wasn't a professionally trained singer, but I had been singing for years with.
Right.
But he was training me since I was little without me knowing it.
Amen. Terry was a trained singer.
Yes, he was.
I remember when he started explaining that to me. I said something about his singing ability. Terry said, no, I'm not a singer. I'm a trained singer. I said, come on. What does that mean? Trained? How'd they train you? Then I found out. They taught him how to speak his words. It's amazing, that person, what he learned. And he told me he could not sing at all. Well, I didn't agree with him ever. Amen.
Yep. Amen. My opinion of myself singing was, I can't sing at all. Because when I first started singing, I would hear myself sing, and I would kind of cringe. I was like, is that what I sound like? To me, it sounded not very good. I'd cringe. But I've overcome that, and I can stand myself to hear.
I can
hear myself sing now.
I can relate. When I hear the radio, the show open every day, I go, who's that dork? And I go, oh, wait a minute, that's me. So yeah, just you sound different to yourself, right? So it's,
I'm overcoming my heart about...
And feelings,
yes.
Right. Amen. What others think.
Amen. Thank God. Amen.
One thing I wanted to share, Doyle, you just talked about the verses in the scripture coming alive to you.
Right.
And that's happened to myself as well. And in addition to that, I grew up I went to parochial school for 8 years, and so we did a lot of memorizing of scriptures. And they were just words. There was never any life with them, no understanding with them. There was just memorizing. But when I came here and the Spirit set on those words, or you would talk about a scripture, I mean, I knew those scriptures, and they just, boom, came alive in my heart. It's like, I know that scripture. I couldn't tell you where it is, but I knew the scripture. And I think one in particular, of course, being raised in a denomination, was the law. You know, we always memorized the Ten Commandments, and I just remember one of the tapes that we would listen to, that Mike would force me to listen to, and I'm very thankful for that now, but was, I think it's in Galatians where he talks about the law as a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ. Well, I knew that scripture, and immediately God started ministering that to me, and I didn't have a huge problem laying down, you know, setting aside the Ten Commandments and knowing that they were nailed to the cross. Of course, we still had the law in our hearts. We all do, but the first step is to realize that it was nailed to the cross, and you're supposed to believe the gospel.
Amen. That was certainly a big thing for me to swallow when I started seeing it in the Bible. The law is not made for a righteous man. Nailed to the cross. Done away with. Abolished. I said, this can't be. Well, it is. Whether it can't be or not, it is. And the quicker you believe it, the better off you're going to be. Amen. Thank God. Anyone else?
Yeah, a while back, you you said it to me directly, but you have also said to the whole congregation that God has a hook in my jaw or in my nose.
He does.
And I considered that. And if you think about a fish, like going fishing, you catch a fish, yeah, and you hook the fish and you reel it in, and if it struggles and struggles, no matter how much it struggles, the fish is going to end up in the same spot. It's yeah, the same thing with me and everybody else here. The more you can struggle and struggle all you want to, but if God's dealing with your life, you're going to end up in the same position where he wants you to be. No matter how much a fight you put up, he's going to bring you to wherever he wants you to be.
You sound like a preacher of righteousness. Now, that's absolutely the truth. It doesn't matter. The ones that are God's, he has kept them for this day. And you're not an accident. You know, many are called, a few are chosen. But there is a group that God chose to be conformed to the image of his dear son. That's Romans chapter 8. And it says in that chapter, those that he did foreknow, he did foreknow, he called them. And those he called, he justified them. And those that he justified, he glorified them. And you can't get away. You know, I tried it. It's not worth it. He'll let you go a while, but one day he'll pull the carpet right out from under you. And you'll be on a slippery slope.
He's practical, too. When he says a hook in the jaw, that's something that we can understand, whether it's a hook they use on oxen or for fish. When I got offended and left this ministry for 3 or 4 days, I was reeled back in. These two went kicking and screaming, but we came back because God had, he had a plan for our lives. And
amen. Can't get away from him.
That's stupid to try, but that doesn't mean we don't.
Well, we all have tried. John chapter 17, Jesus prayed for the church. He prayed for the ones that he delivered the word to. And he prayed for all that believe the word or hear the word and believe it, that he delivered unto those that were with him. And he said in his prayer, Father, I have kept them that you gave me in your name. You see, you know why we're all here? God kept us here. He kept it. When I moved in, looked at this building the first time, 1980, I walked around in here. I said, I wasn't the happiest place. I said this, after 2 weeks without much sleep, I said, Lord, are you trying to talk to me? Yes, I want you to go back, look at that building and buy it. I said, all right, we did. God worked it out. I thought we'd be in it 2 years and have one at home, 50,000. That's the way I thought. But I was not a preacher. I was an equine practitioner, predominantly veterinarian, and knew a lot of success. Now, my success was really slow. You know, why I love that song, One Day at a Time. I'm sure a lot of people don't like that song, but that's the way you walk with the Lord, one day at a time.
And no thought for tomorrow.
That's right. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Well, anyone else?
A couple things I remember Terry Mai saying, or overhearing him say, you tell me this all the time, he said, anybody can sing.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody can sing. The scripture says, make a joyful noise, make a loud noise, rejoice and sing praise. It doesn't say make a pretty sound or a great sounding voice. It says make a loud noise and rejoice, yeah, sing praise.
Right.
And that really ministered to me.
That ministered to me.
Amen.
Me and Terry, when I met him, he was a choir director, First United Methodist Church of McKinney, and I was a veterinarian. And I started talking to Terry, and I'm not going to tell that. Anyway, Terry told me one day, anybody can sing. He said, I never met a person that couldn't sing. I said, of course, after a few years, you're a trained singer. So I guess if you can train a person to do one thing, you can train them to sing, huh? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah.
Worship is a sacrifice of praise. It's not making a beautiful sound with your voice. It's just a sacrifice of praise, making a joyful noise.
Amen.
It's interesting you brought that up, because when I was trying to get Pam to come to church, I said, we need to go to church. This was Sunday night. We need to go to church. And she says, well, I don't feel like it. Right. And I said, well, why do you think it says sacrifice of praise? We need to go praise God, and it's a sacrifice, whether you feel like it or not. And she, of course, didn't have an answer, and we came. But once here, again, the preaching of the word and the minister of the gospel through preaching and the worship is what changed her heart so that Paul could come forth. Because, like she said, there wasn't we weren't walking in one accord, and it was going to end one of two ways. Well, it ended the way God wanted it to. But I remember talking to you once, Doyle. This was when Pam just first started coming here, and I shared this with you. God told me, leave her alone. She's my problem. In other words, don't be hitting her over the head with a Bible. You know, just keep praying for her, believing, fasting, praying, coming to church. But God said, she's my problem.
Amen. Turn them over to the Lord.
Amen. Which is what we did with him in the hospital. I'm sure it was religious at the time, but I held him up and said, Lord, he's yours. Thank you for letting us raise your son. And like I said, I'm pretty sure it was a religious heart speaking it at the time, but it was an offer. You know, I did offer Paul to God a living sacrifice, not like Abraham did. But.
Amen. Years ago, God pointed out to me about the Gentile spirit. Jesus said that it be not like the Gentiles who have dominion over you and they want to rule you, but be a servant. If you're going to serve God, you're going to be a servant, not have dominion over them. So God taught me for all these years, but Isaiah 11, he says about Jesus, he said, he will not reprove after what a judge after what he hears, nor reprove after what he sees, but in righteousness and truth he will judge and reprove. So I don't say anything to people.
We have less than 1 minute.
I'm sorry?
Less than 1 minute.
Oh, thank you. That's good. I don't say anything to people unless God tells me to. And then when I do, sometimes they think, that's not God. Well,
it's a hammer and a fire and a two-edged sword.
There you go. So it's really up to them to listen. I deliver the mail. Paul does. You do. Pam does. Mike and Pam. All of us here and throughout the world that are with this ministry, they minister the things of the Spirit. It's up to you to receive it, believe it, walk in it. We can't save you. Amen.
We're out of time.
We're out of time. Good night.
We invite you to visit Water of Light Church at 1621 18th Street in Plano, Texas. Or for further information, call area code 972-578-8082. That's 972-578-8082. Or write Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. That's Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. This program was paid for by Water of Life Church.